desire of every heart. I promise you that whether you get in a prayer position or not, God listens for his name to be called from wherever you find yourself. His pictures are complete in the Bible, from fiery furnaces to lion's dens, to depraved homes where the last of the food is given to the kingdom, pictures of jail worship, pictures over and again through that book that show you there's not a place you're ever going to find yourself that he's not there. He's where you can reach him, no matter what your thoughts and feelings have been. And I can assure you that the most criminal mind can be straightened out. I can assure you today that the farthest you have run, Jonah ran further. The more wicked the kingdom was, Nineveh found an answer. And of all the people, the guy that had led them into such horror led them out. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you're in a great place today. You don't want to be in this world 1 minute after forgiveness is gone. You have never experienced hopelessness. If you've experienced a sense of hopelessness when forgiveness is this abundant, don't fool around and be here when forgiveness, the master of God of life, is gone. So today it is an honor to get to preach and talk to you. And how many of you felt the love of God this week? Oh, that's right, all over the building. So I want us to move forward in this class this morning. And do you have that up there? Got it? Good. I am mindful of the time. I set my watch at 9 o'clock every time I get up here on Sunday. That way I never go overtime. Those of you that are new here, that's a little bit of a lie. No, it's a whole lot of a lie. Let's look into the word of the Lord today. And how many of you are too hot? How many of you are too cold? Leave them alone. We're not bothering a crowd that's that comfortable. We'll look into the word of the Lord now, and I trust that you understand that there's none of us perfect, or you wouldn't be on the earth. We may be moving slow, but I remind you that the snail finally got on the ark. So don't be impatient with yourself or with your husband or with your wife or with your kids. In your patience, you possess your soul. So let's talk about Paul's discovery and desire for our life. As you well know, Paul was hooked up with the Roman Empire in a tremendously advantageous position in their economy. And it was Paul's desire to be the best that I think that's what God called him, because he did the best that he could in the world he lived in. And as you well know, God struck him down on the road to Damascus, and in that particular setting, God began to speak to him about a new future. And I don't know where you've been, but if you have a desire for our world to be best, there's a good chance that's the reason God directed your steps to this place today. So let's look into the word of the Lord, Paul's discovery and desire for the world. Following Jesus for the Apostle Paul was not to go preach a little bit every Sunday. He was not one of those pastors that studied to preach a little message to the people that would pacify them for another few days. Paul's desire was that men would find themselves wrapped up in a whole new life, a whole new future, a whole new desire. He wasn't satisfied to be a great man in the Roman Empire, which he was. He wasn't satisfied just to have a special place at the supper table or the dinner table. He was not satisfied to have a position in the Roman government that gave him prestigious accolades. He was a man that had a passion about life. It was beyond words. It was a passion that was in his feet. It was a passion that was in his hands. It got into every part of his life because it was in his heart. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I promise you, your heart is going to dictate your future. The book of life says salvation is in the heart. It is the only member of your body that does not get its direction from your brain. Your brain gets its activity level from your heart. And I want to tell you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If your steps are not leading you to a grand and glorious vision and a future, check your heart. Get it right with God. And I promise you, it will help bring the blood of Jesus to your brain and amplify thoughts to their highest level. And you will suddenly begin to walk in triumph and victory. You will start sensing that excitement of getting up every day. You will start sensing that excitement of raising children again. Because children are heirs of the Lord. And we suddenly began a realm of life that is exclusively exquisite. Could we thank him for just that much knowledge? Paul said it this way, for me to live is Christ, and to die is better than that. You're looking at a world that's fighting to stay in a sin-filled world. But Paul said, the only reason I'm here, I just want to help somebody else. Get ready to live in the big world. I trust that that's the ambition of everybody that's come to this church over 2 years. That the big deal is, I understand that for me to live here is to help be a light. And I'm going to help light up my kids' life. I'm going to help light up my neighborhood. I'm going to help light up my city. I'm going to help light up every place in the job market. I am a light. He was the light. He transferred that to me. And now I am the light of the world. That ought to be one of the greatest thrills in the world, to offer the world hope. Most likely none of us will rival the Apostle Paul in facing a history or a future that would compare with him. Are you aware today that the Apostle Paul was the one that killed Christians? How would you like to carry that baggage with you, that you had helped destroy the very thing God had turned on to help kids find hope in troubled settings? How would you like to have that kind of baggage in your cargo place, where that all of a sudden you remember the day that you watched the blood flow out of a blessed saint of God? I can't imagine having a history. Roger, you think you may have a history. I think I may have a history. I want to tell you, I don't have a history like the Apostle Paul. And when I see a God that can set a man free from that kind of history, I'm interested. I cannot imagine a man with that kind of history that would think for any reason he had any kind of future coming to him from a good God after he had killed God's creation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, I don't care where you find yourself. This man tells you, I have found and discovered a power that no matter how bad your history is, your future can be greater than you've ever even thought about it being. I am here to preach to you a Messiah that can absolutely change dark history into an illuminating future and give you the power to enter into it. He discovered and desires that God's grace and teaching, somebody say, abound in me. Abound in me. He don't use slightingly created gestures that insinuate you might be able to touch a little bit of him. He tells us in no uncertain terms, there is abundant grace. There is abundant life. There is abundant forgiveness. There is abundant reason for you to turn your little life over to a big God so you can enjoy this little bitty life in a magnificent way. Why don't we just give him the kind of praise he deserves right now? I know of nobody on this earth that has a testimony greater than the 15 books he wrote to churches that needed to know how to organize their brain and distribute their wealth. I'm talking about the true wealth. The ability of the heart to transform kids, to the ability of the heart and mind to transform dark futures into great futures. That's the truest ability. Paul's desire for you to know the Lord God, the one with whom we have to do, and how this God will advance himself to and in us. God, he remembered David's writing, I was with you in your mother's womb, and I will never leave or forsake you. Those two truths consistently dog your footsteps. Those two truths consistently are there in the morning for your faith to reach out and get a hold of and say, take me to my future. Take me to what God really birthed me for. I'm not here to live in the beggarly elements, the shallow waters of life, the shallow breathing that barely hangs on in a hospital ward somewhere. No. I came to get you out of the hospital. I came to set your feet and your future alive with my glory and my purpose. This God we are dealing with today is not turned away from your history, and you in Christ can face off with any problem or challenge or any opposition. I want you to think about what's been holding you back right now, and mentally I want you to look at it and say, in Jesus' name, I bring the blood against you. All over the building. This is a participation. We're not here to get just a little delight out of some guy's sermon. No. That's not what it's here. We got Paul's passion today. That passion, I want to live. I want to live. I'm not want to dry rot on some stationary planet. I want to burn out as a flaming meteor somewhere. I don't want Jack London to get ahead of us in ability to describe life in Christ. God, I thank you today that you are allowing my mind that has held lies, that has told lies, my mind that has contrived devious things. You're giving me an invitation to absolutely lay hold on the abundant things that I can leap over a troop and jump over a wall. There's nothing impossible to those men and women that can accept his will. This salvation, Jesus Christ is our salvation. The Savior of the world is who you're dealing with. Most people go to church and they're used to dealing with religion. You're not talking to that guy today. You're not listening to that guy today. I'm not embedded in some religious institution. I am covered by his blood. I have been given his spirit, and it's a creative spirit. It is not a dog-eat-dog world. It is a God-lives world. It is a world in which the Prince of Peace on stormy waters
can calm your emotions and give you peace, while just in the other room, sickness, disease, and things are trying to take over. And God will give you peace that passes understanding. Oh, we ought to praise Him just for the opportunity to hear that. Thank you, Jesus. I have no intention of being a part of this world. Not when your world is so close. God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship Him. I want to remind you and tell those of you that have never heard this. The invisible world is the biggest world you've ever participated in. Sometimes the enemy doesn't want you to realize that. But show me your broken heart. You can't do it because that's invisible. Show me your greatest joy. And you might try to describe it, but it's invisible. And God, who is spirit, controls that economy. And He's inviting you today to walk out of your dilemma into His courts of judgment against that invisible power holding you hostage. For this cause, Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, I wish somebody would say me, being rooted and grounded in what we talked about last Sunday, somebody say love, may be able, might have the capacity to begin to comprehend what gave us the wood, that gave us the ability, that gave us everything to be able to sit today on benches. Comprehend the power that created all the materials that the steel was made from, that covers this building, 80 feet long trusses put together. You call them steel, but angels call them a work of God. We call our cars a work of man, but God made the mind that made the cars work. God, the God that did all of that, has got His finger out to you today saying, come unto me, all you that are laboring with all this junk and all these wearisome things, come unto me and I will make you fishers of men. I will give you the power to cause other people to begin to enjoy life on the level in which I distributed life through my own body. I'm telling you, Jesus is made a mockery in most church religions. He is not here as a mock. He is here as the real McCoy. He is the only God. He is the only wise God. He's the only one. And I'm sick of us letting people make fun of our worship when they worship idols and ball fields and all kind of things. That's idolatry. Don't you ever lose sight of that. There's not one of those guys that can save your kids. Don't you tell them we're doing crazy when we dance in the presence of the one who made heaven and earth. I'm not listening to liars. No, sir. Read your book. It says, let every man be a liar and let God be true. Turn God loose today and watch your home flourish. That's what the Apostle Paul found. That's what he discovered. A power greater than Rome. He discovered a wealth greater than the Roman Empire. Go read the book of Daniel and find out that Roman Empire on the beast. Read about that Roman Empire, the legs and the feet, the ten-toed kingdom, the governments of this world, and watch that stone come rolling out of the mountain that was the mighty God in Christ, and watch it demolish all the powers. And you see Daniel's vision, and you're going to want to go to the prayer room every day, and you're going to want to harness what Paul got a hold of. It's in your book. Somebody say comprehend. It just amazes me. Every day I live, I watch people that don't have a clue how combustion happens and timing happens in their car, and yet they enjoy it. And they want to know every little detail of what makes the church work. When you can tell me how you eat tomatoes and potatoes and steak and it turns into energy, come talk to me about God. Come on, folks, it's time for us to wise up a little bit. This world is not our home. Go look at the graveyard. There's more people out yonder at Forest Park and the cemetery than there is living in Paris. Wise up. God is about to come. You only have about 70 or 80 years to get it together. Get it together. Paul discovered a power. When he was knocked down on the road to Damascus, that put Rome to shame. And he was glad to give up one of the highest positions in the Roman Empire to have a low position in the kingdom of God. Why don't you turn loose your desire for about 30 seconds and ask God, God, forgive me for my doubt. Cleanse me from every doubt. Cleanse me from every fear and set my feet on the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. He goes ahead to know the love of Christ. Read that. Which, what? You can't know him by going to Harvard or any other celebrated school. You know what bothers me? People read the newspaper and they accept the authenticity of it more than they do this book. And the guys that wrote the newspaper are found out regularly to have embellished. The guys that tell us what the weather's going to be like, and it's not. This book never misses.
Right.
I will never leave you or forsake you. You haven't in your worst day ever found him to be so far away that you couldn't connect with him. Because he will never leave you. Read Psalms 139. I don't have time. I brought it with me, but I can see right now I don't have time to even touch it. But the writer said, though I make my bed in hell, I find him there. I don't care what kind of hell you're going through this Sunday or what you went through last week. You don't have to do it again next week. He is able. He is exceeding able to tear the doubts and the fears out of you and give you peace that passes understanding before you leave this house. Now unto him that is what? To do. I wish some of you that's got delivered from something would stand and just shout your fist in the face of the devil and say, you didn't, you couldn't, you weren't able to give me what he's given me. He has given me beautiful life. He has given me glorious life. He has given me wonderful nights. You need to let him know he's not invading your home. He's not invading your brain. He's not invading your heart. He is the great God Jehovah who passes all knowledge. Woo. Unto him. This is Paul. This is the guy that Brother Randy, he's killing Christians because he's empowered by a Roman government to which he has reached a high level. And all of a sudden, one day, he looks like he joined a church that was a failure. Laying in an altar somewhere. Crying. Oh God, I just saw the light. I've been living in the dark. I've been living with a false power. All of a sudden I realize that death, when it claims my soul, I'm going to be there forever. And God, all of a sudden, I'm getting up in a new world. 3 days later, he walks out of an asylum and he walks in with the Prince of Peace to a world. And he said, let me tell you what I discovered. I discovered the greatest thing going in the whole universe, the mighty God in Christ. Nothing can rival an apostolic altar where you turn this flesh over to him and he regenerates. Somebody say regenerates the brain and the heart. All of a sudden, to listen to a new, greater than the top 10, greater than anything. That's what Paul discovered. Every daddy ought to have the same desire Paul does. Every granddaddy, my heart's desire for you, baby, is that you have enough food, sure, and that you got a great Volkswagen, sure. Desire is to, for your heart to be filled with praise for the one that gives you every brain cell, that gives you every heartbeat, that gives you the possibility of having an overcoming life. Could anybody praise him right now like he deserves praise? My greatest desire, son, I love every one of my grandsons. Where's Corbin? He upstairs working. So he couldn't be here today. Oh, he's working in children's church. My greatest desire, look here. You see that lady right there? You know who that is?
It's your wife.
My wife. And I have to live with her. And she's got complex problems. Mainly me. Yeah, that's right. She said it correct. I would not go to a church that could not furnish me a God that could tell me how to get through those problems. I can tell you that your grandma and me, y'all see us at our best, but we've had some worse times. But I've made up my mind a long time ago. I took her for better or for worse. And I didn't have what I needed. And I have to go to the altar as the head of that house. And I have to say, my God, I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough forgiveness. I don't have enough mercy. I don't have enough patience. I don't have enough love. I don't have enough kindness. I don't have anything on my own. But I've got to come to the bank of heaven today and cash a check at the window of prayer. I got to get some energy. I got to get something to help me. To help this beautiful lady. That said, I'll be your wife. She don't have half the problems I have. No, I am the deal. And I've got to erase some of that junk fairly regularly if we're going to be a protection. Come here, Kyron. And where's Chayden? Is he upstairs? He's in children's church. If we're going to, here's the way it works. The husband protects the wife, and the wife and the husband together protect the family. I've got it in a picture form. It's an umbrella over my head so my head can start thinking right. And then I cover me and her with the blood. And then I cover us with the blood. And come here real quick, sir. And all of a sudden, she covers her kids with prayer. You got to raise you. You had to kneel for her to get hers over you, buddy. Let me tell you something. You talked in tongues the first year you were born. What's the problem now? Talking in tongues, the Bible said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Why don't you go directly from heart to heaven and go to heart to heaven and let your brain take on a renewing of the Holy Ghost, that regeneration of the mind and the life. Y'all thank him. That's what Paul discovered. And he said, you know what? My desire is for somebody to preach that. I want somebody to tell that. I want somebody to tell how it works. Preachers are not great. One reason they preach greatness. If you are tickled to death about a preacher and he don't give you delivering power, he is a false image of the real McCoy. He's got to be able to talk to saints when they lose a loved one. I've been here when this lady bled tears more than she could come up with smiles. But I want you to look at the smile today. That's on top of a lot of disheartening events. That's on top of a lot of... Somebody say, I want to give you the feet that'll walk on top of your problems. I'm going to give you feet that'll walk above your all. The everything going on in your world. Ladies and gentlemen, God's got a people somewhere in this city, and I want to be one of them that gives this city the hope they've never had. Churches haven't done it. We're losing ground as far as people going to church, but we're not losing ground as far as the blood covering sin. We're not losing ground as far as the name covering power, that we're not losing ground concerning his ability to save to the utmost. He is still able. Somebody ought to clap your hands. That's hope. What time is it? What? That's not only a picture taker. That's a clock. Thank you, Jamie. The passion. Not only did he discover, but he found a passion. So he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these things to you is not grievous. But what you tell your neighbor, for you, it is safe. For me to share this life with you is to offer you safety in the name, in the blood, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those people that give you half of the truth. We are the circumcision, the Jews by spirit, which worship God. Somebody say, in the spirit. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. And I want somebody to read it good and strong. And all that this can come up with. You can exchange your hours for dollars, but this will never come up with salvation. It is by the heart that man believeth unto salvation. It is not flesh. You can't come up with enough money to get your kids out of the graveyard. You can't come up with a pretty enough house to get your kids out of the graveyard. You can't come up with a yard that's landscaped so beautiful that every neighbor walks by and says, wow. I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that can get them out of the graveyard, and that's the blood of Jesus and the power of the resurrection in the Holy Ghost. It ought to burn in our heart every day. My kids are going to see the work of the Holy Ghost. They're not going to see the work of my hands. They're going to see the heart bleeding in prayer and in worship. Don't believe anything outside that. If that was true, they could have got resurrected before Jesus. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh. I had one of the greatest positions in Rome. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were to my flesh? I count what, Brother Preston? Stand up and say it, Brother Preston. I count loss for what? This Holy Ghost salvation, this resurrection spirit, this truth that sets men free, this glory that is on joy unspeakable and full of glory. You find I'm lying, you call my hand, I'm willing to change. I promise you, I'm not going to lie to you. He said, except a man be born again, he can't see or enter the kingdom. It's His word. John the 3rd chapter 3:3, 3:5, 3:7. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's not an option if you want the total package. And then He shows you all of the disciples He trained getting it in Acts the 2nd chapter. Doubtless I count what? All things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the what? I have suffered what? Don't you know people make fun of you when you lose this and you lose that? But what difference does it make? After 75 years, Paul discovered that when you live in Christ, you live in resurrection potential. And though the worms destroy this body and the worms take it over, in my flesh I'm going to see God, said Job. I know in whom I have believed. My Redeemer ever liveth. Surrender all to become. The musicians are coming. There's no shortcut to be Christ. I know I've preached hard, but you're going to be mighty happy, because the eternity I'm thinking of lasts a whole lot longer than all the joys put together of this earth. I don't know about you, but the eternity I'm thinking of, somewhere beyond 100 years here on the earth, if you last that long. And do we even have anybody here 100 years old? The closest is what, Brother Bob? How old are you, 88? 87? Anybody older than 87? It's just... Hello? I'm here to tell you, if you last 87 or 88 years or 100 years, let me tell you this, that you can't buy heaven with anything this earth has except the gospel that He's donated. I'm giving you the wealth of God, and some of you getting it free. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. This is what Paul discovered, and what he desires for you, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He don't lie about it. You're going to suffer in the flesh if you live in the Spirit. He don't play games. He's not here to tickle your fantasy world. He's here to save you from the rottenness of sin and the crime of hell. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained and already either were perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know the truth. He alone offers to us impossible experiences, that God brings thoughts to our mind that are absolutely fabulous. You cannot eat steaks on a hot dog income. Somebody say, I'm going to give it all. I'm not giving Him a little bit of my life today.
I'm not joining a religious system. I'm giving Jesus the rest of what I have, because I want him to turn the rest of what I got into something so marvelous and so great. You heard my brother say it. Come here, Roger. This don't embarrass him, because he's dead. He's dead to the works of the flesh. You have no idea how many nights I cried myself to sleep. This has always been my hero. He's the one that saved me when I got to playing games with a guy at one of our, what was that, Hot Springs or somewhere? I got myself in trouble being smart aleck at a swimming pool. And that guy got me and started sinking me. And my hero came over there and saved me. That's when we was living in Greenville. We won a trip selling more ad or selling more paper, people signing up to get the paper. And that was our big vacation. But the enemy got a hold of my hero. Can't tell you the nights I had nightmares of people shooting him. Can't tell you the nightmares I had of people killing him. I wasn't a good guy even myself. But to see my hero following that junk. Matter of fact, Don and I was getting married, and he barely showed up for the wedding. He was my best man. We were getting nervous. When I saw him 22 and a half years ago, you said, go home and become the man. And all three of his boys love and respect him. His wife has tremendous respect for him. The devil like to did him in. You see his eye. I come from a fight. Don't tell me the wages of sin is worth it. There's not one thing out there worth it. I can't thank God enough for restoring my brother to be my hero once again. He is a wonderful man of God. He teaches men every week. He furnishes a home mission church offering every month. He is always saying things to me that encourage me. I want to tell you what God is going to raise up in this house today is your life to be stronger, better, greater than it's ever been. As we stand to our feet and the musicians play, this altar is open. You've got time. Don't let your flesh lie to you and tell you you don't have time to pray. This altar's open for men and women that want to change our city from going to church to living godly. Every day we wake up. You can pray it at the altar. You don't have, pray it at your bench. You don't have to come to the altar. We're not identifying by the people that come. It's just that this altar is a wonderful place sometimes. You can pray it on your way out to the car. You can pray it when you get in your car. That's not a matter. Singers, would you sing? Don't tell me you're not emotional. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you're not emotional. If you get mad at anybody for pulling in your lane, you're emotional. If you hate anybody, you're emotional. If you get angry at yourself, you're emotional. It's time to train our emotions at an altar.
Though often I fail him, oh, and I bring him a shame, still it's my desire to live over. Jesus brought me from to where I am today. Oh, that brand new. was once so lost. Oh, by-